Good morning. For those of you that were expecting Brother Keith, I'm sorry to disappoint you. He's a fine speaker and really appreciate him. We love Brother Keith and appreciate the good leading of the Bible study. A lot of good thoughts there. We're going to switch gears a little bit to our Christ-focused lesson that we do every first Lord's Day of the month. And this particular lesson, I wanted to talk about peace, specifically the Prince of Peace that is Jesus. And I guess what brought this lesson to mind was I see a lot of bumper stickers, mostly when I park. I park in a big parking lot and I walk past a bunch of cars. I always see their bumper stickers, and they're always telling us how we should live sometimes. Everyone's got different thoughts they want to share. But I don't see a lot of use in that particular ministry. For example, we all know this sign, right? This is the peace sign. I'm doing this right, peace. I guess that was kind of started around the 60s. And I wasn't around during the 60s, I apologize. So I'm taking a lot of this from what I've read and what I've heard. Maybe someday we can all go to Brother Bob's house and we can gather around and he can talk to us about it. But the point I'm trying to make is we all remember the movement, the peace movement, right? Because there was the Vietnam War going on. A lot of people were upset. The media kind of showed that as a very violent war, specifically towards innocent women and children. A lot of people were kind of backlash against the government, especially coming from a generation who fought in World War II, and we all agree that there was a noble cause for that war, and we were victorious. However, in Vietnam, we struggled. The peace movement, as it were, they were a very aggressive, very profane group of people, engaging in a lot of sinful activity, specifically the drug culture they were involved in, very sexually loose. There was a lot of anti-parent, anti-government sentiment going on. Not from everyone, but that's been kind of what we've heard about. And my question is, how can you say you're for peace and then not live peacefully? So my contention is there is only one way in this entire world to get peace. It's not through money. It's not through any kind of government program. It's not through meditation or positive thinking. It's through Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. The only way the world will ever know peace is if we all accepted Christ and his teachings. I don't believe we're going to see that happen. We will probably be a world that is warring and sinful through the end of time as we know it. But if we were to try to get to that point, it would have to be through Christ. Now, peace, a word conveying wonderful concepts. What do you think of when you think of peace? You think of harmony, tranquility, right? Everything is just going well and great. The absence of hostility, there's no arguing, no bickering. You get along well together with one another. The absence of stress or anxiety, the things that stress us out, just kind of go away, right? I just kind of get a mental picture of sitting by a nice rolling brook, hearing the birds chirping, no sounds of the outside world around us. Alone with our thoughts, peace, tranquility, that's what we're looking for. In the Bible, the word peace is used to translate shalom in Hebrew, which is completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. Or Irene, the Greek word, often refers to the inner tranquility and poise of a Christian who trusts is in God through Christ. So peace is a quality and virtue that is sorely needed in the world and church today. I think we can all agree that when things are peaceful, things are good. We want peace. We want a peaceful house. I know if my house has been unpeaceful when I get home because my wife is upset and she's stressed out. And I say, well, what happened? Well, you know, both babies were out of control and whiny and they want things. I'm not blaming them. That's what babies do. But the thing is, I can tell when things haven't been peaceful because she wears that emotion on her sleeve. When things are peaceful, we're all in a better mood. Not everyone enjoys peace. The wicked, for instance. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, it says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." I'm going to go through these verses kind of fast. I apologize if you don't have time to turn to them. The point is, there is no peace for the wicked. The wicked don't want peace. The wicked want there to be disruption, disturbance. They want people to be angry. "The sins of the wicked separates us from God." Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." So the sins of the wicked cause them to not have peace because they don't have God with them. "Your sins have hidden your face from him," to continue, "so he will not hear you." Sinful conduct destroys friendships and familial relationships. When people are sinful in our family, when people are sinful among our friends, there is strife there. It can destroy those relationships. And we want to have peace in our families. We want to have peace with our friends because we love them. We love spending time with them. You know, there are some family members of mine who I don't particularly like to hang around with because I don't like to hear about what they do on the weekend or hear about the different horrible things that they do in their life. And it's just, I don't live like that. I don't want my children exposed to that. They're my family members, but there's no peace because we differ so much. Sin prevents true peace of mind. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20. "But the wicked are like a troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." The wicked are in dire need of peace. And the ironic thing is, the wicked are usually the ones telling us that we need to be peaceful. You need to be peaceful. You're disturbing my world. You know, it's funny, going back to bumper stickers, we see a bumper sticker that says, "You need to live in peace, live in peace," and then it's usually blanketed by a bunch of other ones that tell you other instructions how to live your life and different things. But the point is, some people have the attitude of, well, when you're all peaceful, then I'm going to drop my guard and I'm going to join you. Well, no, the point is, we need to be that example of peace and show them what peace is like, and then we need to encourage them to join us. The troubled disciple, even faithful disciples can become troubled. Remember Martha? In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, and Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Certainly Martha thought that, you know, making things and preparing things for the Lord was going to be beneficial, but it was such a distraction to her, it was stressing her out. Faithful disciples can get that way. We lose our peace, disciples, when we fail to simplify our priorities. Things get in the way of what we need to be doing. We become choked by cares, riches, and pleasure. Luke chapter 8, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life." So these seeking the world, the glory of the world, and all the material things, that gets in the way of our relationship with God. That stresses us out. That affects peace. Let's get to the one that we want to talk about this morning. Our example of peace. Jesus Christ came to bring peace. This was foretold by Isaiah, the Messianic prophet. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is Jesus. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We don't have princes today in the United States. Some countries still have that chain of command, but The prince is the son of the king. Our king is our Lord. And we want to recognize that Jesus' place as the prince of peace. Very high, very mighty. By Zacharias at the birth of John, Luke chapter 1, verses 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, and you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, to which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The way of peace, Jesus Christ and his message to us. By the heavenly host at the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Prince of Peace came to bring peace to men of goodwill. Jesus comes to bring us that peace, as proclaimed by Jesus himself. He told it to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world has nothing to offer us as far as peace is concerned. Some of you are saying, well, the scientific community has made great advancements in medication. We can find peace through medicine. Well, no, you can't. The only thing you're going to find in medicine is more trouble. I've taken anti-anxiety medication before when I've been really anxious. And you know what? It brings the anxiety down, but more problems come up. I usually get depressed. It bums me out. I don't want to feel that way. That makes me sad. That's not peace. You can't get peace from a pill. What you can get peace from, of course, is Jesus. By his apostles of Christ, as they taught the lost. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of us all. The Prince of Peace offers peace that the world cannot give. I challenge anyone to tell me where you can find peace in this world. What is that peace? In anticipation, let's go on. The peace that Jesus offers, this is what Jesus offers to us, the different ways he offers us peace. Peace with God. Jesus makes us possible for us to have a peace with God. Consider Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we want to have peace with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. We are to fear God. We want to find that peace with him. We can do that through Jesus. Sort of like when you think about your own family relationship. When we were all young, we feared our earthly father. We wanted to have peace with him. And in order to do that, we had to do what was expected of us. If we got bad grades on our report card or we didn't do our chores or we sassed our sister or anything like that, we got disciplined. And we did not have peace with our earthly father. In the same way, we want peace with our heavenly father. In order to do that, we have Jesus to help us. Without peace with God, no real peace is possible. So you could be content with everything in the world, but if you don't have peace with God, how can you sleep? How can you continue to go on? It's a scary thought if we don't have that peace with God. Jesus offers us peace with mankind. Jesus breaks down the barriers between mankind. Consider Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus makes peace between mankind. What causes most of the strife and the wars throughout the world? It's typically religion, because they have different point of views. They have different beliefs, and those things clash, and one person wants to enforce their way on another one. But if we all believed in the same thing, if we all believed in what was true and what was right, there wouldn't be that strife. We have that possibility if we believe in Jesus. Peace with oneself, Jesus also offers us. Peace within, unfazed by the world. Nobody can touch the peace that Jesus gives us. Consider Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I tell anyone who isn't a Christian, I say, you know what? Do you like to worry? Do you like to be stressed out? Do you like anxiety? And they typically say, no, nobody does. And I say, if you want to get rid of all that, become a Christian. And they say, well, that's not possible. I've got way too many issues going on. I've got money problems, health problems. They don't accept the fact that it is possible to have inner peace while we live here. And I tell them, you know, it's the peace of God surpasses all understanding. You may not understand how it is possible to find peace when there is so much bad in this world, but I'm telling you, with Jesus, it is possible. Jesus offers us peace with our families. Jesus provides peace for families seeking love and stability. Nothing is better when we have a loving and stable household. Consider Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. When wives are serving their husbands, husbands are serving their wives, the children are serving their parents, there's peace in that household when we are doing what is taught to us by God, when we are living faithfully. We can have peace. Jesus offers peace with our brethren. Consider 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brethren. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. No returning evil for evil. When we all believe the same things, we're all together, we're all peaceful. Jesus can offer us that. If we follow his doctrine, it will lead to harmony among brethren. Jesus offers peace with churches. He offers peace for the ills of denominationalism. Consider John chapter 17, verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If we heed the prayer of Jesus, is the cure for denominationalism. Remember, Jesus said it was his desire that we all be together, that we all believe in the same things. Why? Because it's peaceful. It helps us to grow with God when there is no fighting, when we can just focus on what's important. Peace with our enemies. One of the hardest things for anyone who isn't a Christian to understand. How can you have peace with those that you hate or those that hate you? Jesus shows us how to have peace with our enemies. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus taught us to have love for our enemies, have peace for our enemies. And, you know, how many times have you heard a story of where two people are just going at each other and they're just, there's been a lot of distress between them for a long time. And next thing you know, somebody reaches out and says, you know what, I don't even remember what we were fighting about. I love you. Let's forget about all this. And what does the other person do? Do they stay in that hard shell? Are they a stone? No, they usually are willing to accept their brother and forgive and let things go. When one person reaches out to their enemy and shows them that they love them and they want to have peace with them, the other side usually will go along with that. That's why Jesus wants us to love our enemies, because he knows love is what breaks down barriers. You can't fight somebody and destroy them until they love you. It's not going to happen. You have to reach out to them with that peaceful, forgiving attitude. And remember, of course, the greatest example of forgiveness when Jesus said, Father, forgive them on the cross. They know not what they do. All the horrible things that Christ went through. And even though he was in his most painful state that he'd ever been in, he said, forgive them. Having that attitude, knowing what Jesus went through, we can emulate that. We can have that love of our enemies. Through precept and example, Jesus shows us how to make peace. So in conclusion, do we have peace, or have wicked practices preventing us from finding peace? Have misplaced priorities robbed us of peace, concerned, filled our hearts with anxiety? Well, there's only one way to get peace in this world. That's through Jesus Christ, and he's willing to give us his peace. Remember, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every way. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to be peaceful. Of course, going back to Jesus' time on the cross, in order to give us that peace, in order to give us that hope of eternal life, he had to die for us. He had to die for all of our sins, and he did it on that cruel cross at Calvary. Now is the time when we gather around the Lord's table and we remember that time. We think back to what Jesus was willing to go through to give us that peace. So let's take this opportunity to think back. Let's take this opportunity to revisit the cross and think about Jesus at this time.